Hi, I'm Patrick Finley, and he's not Jason Leisure. We've got Steve Greenberg here, and we'll talk about the first day of rookie minicamp coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Sun-Times columnist Steve Greenberg, you made it to Hallis Hall for day one of the Bears rookie minicamp. Welcome.
Thank you. Pat, I went poking around on the museum grounds behind Soldier Field looking for a Bears practice. I didn't find it. Turns out Hallis Hall is all the way up in the suburbs.
Yes,
who knew?
Yeah, it's like 30 miles away. They still, it might be closer to the new stadium, perhaps,
That's
maybe.
That's right.
Steve came up here to check in on the Bears rookies. The eight of them participated in practice. Well, I should say seven of them did. And Colson Loveland stayed on the sideline while he's rehabbing his right shoulder. He should be back in time for training camp. Ben Johnson coached his first practice as a coach. The Bears brought in some tryout guys and some second-year low-level players just to kind of round out the roster. Steve, I'm curious, as somebody who doesn't hang out up here a lot, what do you make of the hour-long practice that we had today?
I just think, you know, if I'm putting myself in the position of anybody in that camp, you're trying to figure out how can I make an impression. How can they make an impression? You know, you think of running hard on a little drill, but really they want them to be measured. You could tell, you know, don't go too hard too soon. No, let's not get hurt out here. So there's not much to, I suppose, see. You know, I found myself staring at Colson Loveland, who was standing there. He looks good. I kind of take the measure of the guy. He's tall. It makes the number 84 look good. There was a difference physically to me between some of the guys who, particularly Ozzie Trapillo, like his size, his stature, and other linemen who are here in camp. I mean, he looked the part. That was something that jumped out to me.
Yeah, it's always fun when you see 300-pound guys who don't look out of shape. You know what I mean?
Right.
And Ozzie just looks like a normal person, just kind of supersized. And you know, he'll have a chance to play either right or left tackle. Ben Johnson today was not going to go down that path. He even said this is not the time of year when you win starting jobs. Still, him getting some work at left today is notable, and it's notable because Braxton Jones is recovering from ankle surgery. They think he'll be ready by training camp at the absolute latest. But the fact is, you know, he's a mid-level player entering the last year of his deal, and I don't care whether you're in the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball or whatever, when they draft somebody who could be your replacement, that is going to be the height of competition, I think, during training camp.
Well, Trapillo, who really, if we're being honest, we should call Ozzie, because when you're named Ozzie, you should be called Ozzie.
Yeah, but Trapillo also...
We're journalists. We need to perfunctorily call him Trapillo, so I'm going to do that. But he didn't shut down the subject of playing left tackle. I mean, he was asked about it, and he entertained it and seemed to me to enjoy talking about the possibility. Very open to it. And, of course, that's the most obvious path to playing. But that size, that 6'8", you know, he was impressive. I mean, it was just a little bit of talking. But, you know, he doesn't seem any bit ahead of himself and seems bright and measured. And I don't know. He's always kept himself, he says, up to in some sort of working order as a left tackle in case, and sounded eager to give it a shot. So, yeah.
Steve, he's an interesting story. You know, his dad played at Boston College.
Right.
His dad actually threw the most important block on the Doug Flutie Hail Mary. His dad died when he was three, so he didn't know his father, but he grew up knowing that being an NFL player like his father was not a pipe dream. It was, it's the same way, you know, a lot of us had dads who did what we do. It's, you grow up thinking, oh, I can do that because I know this guy who doesn't. So he has spent the last 2 years, even though he's been a right tackle at Boston College, preparing for the NFL. And the way he prepared for the NFL is when practice ended, he'd go work as a left tackle afterwards with his coaches, and he'd keep that left side, that left arm punch, and all that sort of good stuff. He'd keep it well trained, I guess is the best way to put it, because he played left tackle as a sophomore and then not again. I'm always a little dubious of when a player doesn't reach a certain level in college, then expecting them to reach it in the NFL.
Sure.
I remember picking up the phone when Mitch Trubisky was drafted and calling the North Carolina head coach. Oh, my God, Steve, I'm blanking on his name. He was the hotshot offensive coordinator. I think he was at Oklahoma State.
Not Fedora.
Yeah, Larry Fedora.
Larry Fedora, okay.
So I call Larry Fedora. My first question is, why didn't Mitch Trubisky start until just this last season?
That was always the question, wasn't it?
Yeah, and Larry said, I played the guy who's going to win me the most football games. It's not my job to develop the NFL's next generation. It's my job to pick the best guy for the job in the short term. And he was right, and but you walk away and you go, oh, shoot. Like, maybe this isn't what, of all the other questions about Mitch, that was a pretty legitimate one, too. And now you look at Ozzie Trapillo, who could, I find it hard to believe that there was a left tackle at Boston College who was a better NFL prospect. But, for whatever reason, his college put him at the least, or at the less sexy, I guess, of the two spots.
Well, BC also ran a lot, had a quarterback who ran a lot, and maybe left tackle there isn't exactly what it is some other places.
Yes.
But, yes, that's a good point. I like a player at the college level who seems to be mindful of a bigger picture. Mm-hmm. Not just, if you're working out extra, working out a left tackle, you're aware that of multiple things. Not only that you might have a chance to be a left tackle in the pros, but that, you might not walk in and be the man and be a star coming in. And you might just need to make a squad and offer versatility and that kind of sense of a big picture. Not to mention the work ethic to stay after practice and work out at a different position. It's a very good sign. That's what separates, because all these guys are good. Right. All these guys are athletes, and not all of them are great at that part, right. Separate themselves at that part, and Ozzie Trapillo doesn't, or else he would have been a first-round pick. But it's that approach, the mindfulness and being a realist about who you are and how you get to and stay where you want to go and all that. That is what ultimately separates athletes in the pros.
Yeah, they've given him number 75. That's the same number Kyle Long had. And Kyle Long got to the NFL in a far different way. But
right.
Again, another guy whose father was an NFL legend. And he knew coming in, he knew what he didn't know. And I think that's a big part of it. And in a way, that kind of brings me to Luther Burden. And, Steve, your expertise is, among other things, college football and basketball. You are fortunate enough to have had a son to attend the University of Missouri and receive a wonderful public education. You and I both watched him as a college player. He's here and he's pissed. He's pissed because other teams didn't pick him higher than the Bears did. And I think that is healthy to a point. And where I think it intersects with what we're talking about is you want a motivated player, but you also want somebody who knows what his role is here. And it's really safe to say Luther Burden's role has never at any point in his life been as the fifth or sixth option on a team.
It's good if he says he's going to make every team pay that passed on him. But yes, that's good. That's good in a theoretical sense. There's not one player on that field who's going to give a damn if Luther Burden's pissed because he went in the second round.
Right.
There's not a teammate who's going to care. There's not a coach who's going to care. There's not a defensive back on the other side who's ever going to care about that. So really, it means whatever it means insofar as it motivates him, to do great things. But I agree with you completely that it can also, put someone in a headspace that's just not ground in the reality of things. He's not going to come in and be wide receiver one, I assume.
No.
And I don't think they want him to be.
They need him to be wide receiver three.
Wide receiver four, and he's clearly, I think, going to have an opportunity to, one big play, and he's already a fan favorite because that's the nature of things, and all that. But yes, the idea that he's going to come in and be what going into last college season he was, which was kind of projected as the number one receiver in the next draft.
Right.
That ship sailed.
Right.
That's over. It's not coming back. There's no way to get it back.
Can we blame Drew Pine for that?
Yeah. That's an inside Mizzou reference.
A little bit of a Notre Dame reference. Still.
A little bit of a Notre Dame reference. But yes, Mizzou. I think that their quarterback Cook.
Yeah.
You know, really good college quarterback.
Yep.
But not going to necessarily make a really gifted wide receiver shine. So the fact that Burden went there, stayed there, finished there, mm-hmm. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, he could have left and would have had reason.
Do you know that 3/4 of all passes he caught were within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage?
That's got to be frustrating. That had to be frustrating, that sort of thing for DJ Moore, tunnel screens and getting hit. And it's not what you dream of when you become a wide receiver, right? You dream of running under a ball and running away from somebody.
Right.
Not catching, dodging, massive instant danger, and then weaving around, but yes.
And that brings us back, honestly, to Colson Loveland. I mean, what he does best is I think he can run and get under something. And he can also, at the top of his route, he's slippery in a good way in terms of getting open. Is he, in your mind, when you look at him, you said you were kind of eyeballing him today, is he kind of a receiver doing a tight end impression, or do you think he's a tight end doing a receiver impression?
I mean, I think it only matters if he's so good at each that you could see him dominating wherever he lines up or whatever routes he's running. I can't say it doesn't matter, but if he's truly unique and special and all that, then whatever position he is, it's a bigger problem for the defense than it is for, you know, how to describe it. But I can't believe he's as fast as an outside receiver.
No, he's not.
But he's big, and if he runs these great routes everyone says he runs, mm-hmm. and has these weathered Idahoan hands from ripping apart barbed wire, as you described in a story already. I mean, this sort of mythicizing of him already, it's fun.
Yeah.
But it has nothing to do with football exactly. Like, we'll have, you know, we'll see if he's got hands of, you know, that come around once in a blue moon and the size and the ability to run away from everybody. If he does, my God, then that's the right tight end they picked.
Yep.
I was in the camp assuming that they would and should, if they were going to take a tight end, take Tyler Warren, mm-hmm. that he was the freak.
Right.
At that position. So maybe it's Loveland.
I mocked Tyler Warren to them a couple times, and it was because, boy, he could run. He can throw. He's, right. You know, he is the perfect kind of Ben Johnson toy. And they went in the other direction. It'll be interesting to see it'll be interesting to watch his growth because, and we've talked about this a lot, but at the NFL level, tight end is the position that's the hardest to learn except for quarterback because you need to learn how to be an O-lineman, essentially, and how to be a receiver. And you need to learn it all at once and be able to put it together. So it wouldn't stun me if it took a year for this to kind of take.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're the Bears, you have enough weapons that if he can show flashes this season, there's only one ball. And maybe that's enough. And you've got Cole Kmet under contract for a couple more years anyway.
Well, wherever he is on the field and whatever we're calling him, if there's a 3rd-and-2 or a 3rd-and-1 and he misses a block and on a running play, you know, nobody's going to have patience for that. And I'm referring to the people watching, not the coaches and all that. But I mean, you know, if you're a tight end with wide receiver attributes and you get beat at the point of attack and you don't get the first down, you know, because of it, mm-hmm. well, it's not cute anymore. So, you know, I know Warren could do that.
Right.
And I also know about Warren, not that there's any sense talking about him, but statistically, Loveland was pretty darn good. It's not nothing that Warren caught about twice as many balls.
Right.
You know, that level of production while also being deployed in a variety of ways, running the ball, throwing it some, a decoy all the time, mm-hmm. who still ends up with 100 and some catches.
Sure.
And this is at Penn State.
100 catches is like 200 catches.
Penn State's no different than Michigan. So anyway. But yes, Loveland looks good. He's got a way about him. He's got a interesting background and seems eager. Mm-hmm. Of course, I guess they all do, don't they?
they better be eager. And nothing he does on the field or he won't do anything on the field until late July, and then all eyes will really be on him. You mentioned coaches. I'm curious, this was your first time around Ben Johnson, independent of what he said today, which wasn't a whole heck of a lot. What do you make of the guy?
I find it hard not to. I'm skeptical until, you know, there's a reason not to be, just generally as a disposition toward new coaches and things like that.
In 105 years of history,
he's a first-time coach.
Yep.
And at least half of those first-time coaches, no matter how much buzz there was about them, they come, they do what they do, and a conclusion is arrived at that, you know, he's a great coordinator, maybe better at that, because it's a completely different job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a completely different job. So he has an impressive demeanor. He's good extemporaneously. You know, he seems like somebody who has been a step ahead in his offense in Detroit, and that's really encouraging. I'm not saying this to be funny. I mean this. You know, people are inclined to want to love Ben Johnson, as Chicagoans, I think, are about new coaches when they come in. We tend to be, you know, giving them the benefit of the doubt, and Ben Johnson seems to be getting it tremendously. And he read a poem. He wrote and read a poem. And it was about something lovely, about Brian Piccolo. But I just imagine, what if Matt Eberflus had written and read a poem last year? How much would he have been?
It'd be a week of sports.
Lampooned for that.
It'd be a week on sports radio.
It would have blown up in his face instantly. Right. Or, you know, same for Pedro Grifol or other coaches and you know, across town. It would have been regarded as sort of silly and, hey, we didn't hire you to do that.
Yeah.
So Ben Johnson did it, and people loved it. And I made a mental note of that.
Yeah.
I think it's nice that he wrote something and read it and had a sentimental feeling and all that. That makes me like him more. But it, too, has nothing to do with really why he's here.
You said these rookies are eager. Ben Johnson, in many ways, is a rookie.
Yeah.
In many ways, he's eager. And I think he showed it that way. Steve, do you know how many first-time coaches the Bears have hired in their history? Do you know the stat?
First-time coaches.
First-time NFL head coaches.
I have no idea, but it's got to be a lot, because I just think from, like, Ditka on, we've had several.
The short answer is more or less everybody but John Fox in the history of the team.
That's amazing.
The longer answer is Patty Driscoll was a player coach 30 years before he became the Bears head coach. So technically he counts. But otherwise, this is where the Bears live. The Bears live in this world where an offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator comes here and comes to rookie minicamp and blows the whistle to blow a play dead for the first time and stops and goes, oh, shoot, I'm in charge. That's it's a challenge. And I think the Bears, to your point, are proof that if half of them worked out, I think the Bears would have been lucky. As it turns out, about a quarter of them did.
I'm amazed by what you just told me. I didn't know that. It sort of fits the narrative of the Bears, a family business.
Can I say it?
The
narrative until very recently is that they were cheap, and that hiring an assistant coach is what cheap franchises do, right?
Well, and there's a lot of that in Chicago of late, sort of like world's biggest cow town, you know, where things are run a little bit mom and popishly. We've seen it obviously with the not to run around all over town, but we've seen that with the White Sox, we've seen that with the Blackhawks, we've certainly seen it with the Bears. So it is dangerous, and it is easy to sell hope when you hire the next person who, you know, everybody's talking about. But
right. I've been here 12 years. For me, the day that they traded for Khalil Mack and made him the highest paid defensive player in the history of time, the cheap narrative died for me right there. I don't think cheap franchises do that. And I think with Ben Johnson, you know, he's making double what Matt Eberflus made.
Mm.
So, you know, the Bears, I think, are again putting out more evidence that this isn't the way they operate. They may have operated that way for 95 years. But in recent history, they've been willing to spend money. And we'll see whether it's an expensive mistake or not. But Ben Johnson, I'm guessing his Q rating will never be higher than it is the day before he coaches his first game, right? There's nothing sure. like a coach on the eve of either proving everybody right or wrong.
That's right. People love defense around here. I know enough to know that, even though I don't come around Alice Hall. And I hope, you know, for his sake, he's very mindful of that. And that institutionally, that the Bears are.
Sure.
They can't win without it. But, yes, Johnson is on quite a honeymoon.
Him not wearing a visor, I think, is a good first step toward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually the delicate genius offensive guy usually wears the visor.
Right.
I think it's good for him that he didn't. Were you there when he barely played along with my Pope question?
No, I was not in the room.
I asked if they'd had conversations in the last 24 hours about the Pope being a Bears fan. And he said, I want to read to you. He said, I've heard rumblings, but that hasn't been discussed too much firsthand. So tacit acknowledgement, maybe, that I don't know.
Sounds to me like he bleeds Bears colors, this Pope. I mean, he almost has to if he's from Chicago.
What are his choices?
There are no choices. It's the Bears. I'm sure he was to some extent a fan when he was here. I wonder if he went to games. I've been thinking nonstop about, there's got to be a way we can ask some questions to the real Pope. You know?
Do we have to learn Latin or something? What?
I don't know. But there's got to be some in based on Chicago sports that would appeal to him, that he would be charmed by. I have no idea how a reporter, let alone a sports reporter, goes about requesting time with the Pope. There might be no such thing ever. But someone, someday, is going to be the one who asks him about Chicago sports and Chicago food and those right. tropes. But really the sports. And we're all going to be fascinated to read it. So it should be one of us.
Do you think he'll make picks? Do you think he'd make picks for us every Sunday?
Weekly?
Yes.
Yes.
And being Catholic, I'm allowed to say that gambling on the NFL is a pretty Catholic thing, probably.
Right.
I don't know many Catholics that shy away from that sort of thing. I had a real question, but let's stick with the Pope thing just for a minute. As somebody who is from here,
yeah.
I thought, yeah, you're from here, I'm not. I thought yesterday was one of the great Chicago Twitter days of all time. Just the memes, the stupid jokes, but also things like what the Sun-Times did was tracking down a photo of his friends at a World Series game in 05. And he's in the background.
He's in the background.
First of all, he's checking his phone.
Right.
Which is great. Second of all, he's got a pinstripe Sox jersey on
right.
underneath whatever his overcoat is. That's, number one, a testament to local news still mattering far more than people realize. And number two, just a cool Chicago moment.
He's just like us, only way better, but just like us. You know? And he's one of us.
Right.
And that's an amazing feeling. My Jewish elderly father in Florida called me yesterday and said, I can't believe it, but I just choked up reading about this Pope. I'm very moved.
Right.
And I can't believe I'm moved, but I am. And I really like this guy already. And that's what being from, you know, from your place
right.
is. That's the effect it has on people. So I'm more interested already in Leo 14, you know, than I'm accustomed to. And I'm looking forward to getting to know this guy.
Shoot, there's a picture of him in August at Aurelio's.
Like, yeah, isn't that something?
It blows your mind. Blows your mind, absolutely. Are you saying we may have a new recruit in your father? No?
Well, you mean on your team?
Yes.
This would be the time to get him, if ever there were a time. You know, his defenses are going down a little bit. You might be able to get him.
Is he a Cubs guy, though?
He's not. He's not a sport. I grew up in a non-sports fan home in Chicago.
Wow.
If I wanted to watch a game,
yeah.
For me it might be DePaul basketball or the Illini or the Bulls late at night or the whatever it was in the evening. I had to watch on the little black and white in my parents' room. Well, down in the color TV, the family, you know, watch whatever.
What were they watching?
Else.
What were they watching?
Whatever my dad wanted to watch. It was
some sort of.
It was a while ago.
All in the Family situation?
Absolutely.
Yes.
All in the Family, Honeymooners, Soap, Taxi, you know. And
so how'd you get into sports?
No sports.
How'd you get into sports if you weren't raised around sports? Friends?
Well, my older brother got into girls.
Yeah.
And I'm me. That didn't work out. I got into sports.
Your older brother, okay, and then we'll go. I met a guy who knew your older brother.
Did you really?
When we were in Florida. You know this
story. Oh, yeah, you told me. I'm sorry.
And this guy mentions in passing that your older brother was handsome.
Yeah.
And then I text you, and not knowing that he said it, you then respond to me and mention in passing that your older brother is handsome.
Yeah.
I would love to be the guy that people just casually be like, is he still handsome? Like, that's a...
Yeah. The world for merely, you know, 50 however many years has seemed to be quite enamored of him, and it's not changing. So, you know...
Does it drive you crazy?
No. All right. No. It doesn't drive me crazy. It's something to joke about, but
you're the little brother, though, right?
I am the younger brother.
You would find something to be annoyed about with him, regardless of what it was. That's just the way little brothers are, right?
That's certainly true. I bet that's even true for the new Pope, because he's got a brother. We know that. I saw him interviewed talking about, you know, dispelling Cubs fan rumors and
not
this
only
and that.
Dispel that.
Sure, they have their stuff.
Yeah, not only dispel it, kind of spat on the idea of it. Like, yeah. It's like, hey, I don't know where this came from. Yeah, we'll have to figure out whether he thinks Luther Burden should be in the starting lineup or not. But until then, Steve, look, this is how we're going to wrap up. People can follow. Do you know people can follow Jason Leisure, who is far afield? They can follow him on social media. Follow me. Follow you on social media. Do you know your social media handles off the top of your head?
I mean, I resent the implication that I might not. You look at me like you look at me like I don't know.
This sounds to you like
I don't
like
know if
time.
He knows.
Are you buying time?
I'm not. SL Greenberg.
Okay.
On Twitter.
Okay.
I might not be the greatest follow, but I am there.
Do you have
do I have Blue Sky?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I think it's the same SL Greenberg, but then it's like. Dot Blue Sky or
whatever
it is.
Anyway, you know how to find us. Check out the Sun-Times website for Bears coverage all weekend during rookie minicamp. And today of all days, pick up a paper. It's a good day to buy a newspaper, isn't it?
God bless it. It is.
All right. He's Steve. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.